Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for joining us today for this online worship service, and I hope that it has been and continues to be a blessing to you. You know, Mother's Day is just an amazing time that we can celebrate some of the most special people on earth. And I just look at the mothers in my life, whether it be my mom or my mother-in-law or my wife, Sarah, who just labors every day in mothering. And even in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis and pandemic, moms are just so amazing and they're worthy to be praised. And at Berean, we just want you to know, moms out there, that we cherish you, we're thankful for you. You are worthy to be praised today and to be celebrated. But we also are aware that this day, as I think was kind of touched on earlier, can bring out some pain, some real agony that maybe some of you have even experienced in your life, whether it be infertility or a struggle to have children of your own. Maybe it reminds you of wayward children who aren't maybe where they are right now. And it causes you to have doubts of what kind of mother you are or were. And we want to know that God can meet us there. God can meet us in that place. And the text we're going to look at today, I think, can really encourage those, whether it be the mother who's in the midst of the storm of mothering little ones, or maybe a lady who wishes that they could have been a mother, and there's pain there. God wants to meet us there. And whether it be infertility or not having children or losing a child or any other thing that has caused anxiousness or fear, God wants to meet us there today. We're in the midst of a series and finishing up the series, hopefully, this morning on fear. And the main idea is just do not fear. God does not want us to be, as followers of Jesus, people who fear. God does not want us to live in fear or trepidation or worry or anxiousness. And God's word is going to speak directly to that today. You know, we started out looking at Peter walking on the water and the disciples in the midst of a storm and being fearful and filled with just being scared and wondering what will happen. And we saw Jesus met them right there. We saw that eyes fixed on Jesus aren't daunted by the waves, by the storms around them. And we need to fix our eyes on Christ. We need to realize that our God is greater than our fear. Our God is greater than our fear. Pastor Dan as well expounded on the fact that God is greater than our enemies. Greater than our enemies. And last week we talked about how we are children of God, and so we have nothing to fear. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. If you're in Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you are a child of God. I love the statement that Dan said. He said, when the enemy attacks, remind him who your father is. When the enemy attacks, remind him who your father is. We have a great advocate and heavenly father who rules over all creation. We do not need to fear. Today, I want to challenge us individually and corporately as a body of Christ that we would be people who do not fear. And this is what I want us to focus on. I don't want us to be people who face our fears like we often hear. You know, you need to face your fears. Don't face your fears, but turn your face to God. Don't face your fears, but turn your face to God. You know, we talk a lot about overcoming, and I am strong enough, and I can do that. And I think so much of that language becomes me-centered and about me. And I think what God wants to say to us from his word today is don't face your fears. Get your eyes off the wind and the waves again, and turn your face on me. Turn your face on me. So let me pray before we jump into Philippians 4. If you have your Bible, go grab that real quick. But I'm going to pray for us as we open up God's word together. Jesus, would you move through the proclamation of your word? I pray that I would decrease, God, and that you would increase. And that my words, Lord, would just be you using your word to speak to your people. God, would you just speak pointedly into anyone who's watching or listening right now. God, we need you. And in the midst of worry, anxiousness, and fear, God, we need you. Would you show up now? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Philippians 4, and I'm going to read from just a few verses there. It's not going to be long this morning, but we're going to look at verse 6 and 7. And this is what it says. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And if you, like me, have been a follower of Jesus for a while, you've probably heard this scripture over and over again. Maybe you have it on a picture frame or something in your home to remind you not to worry. But I want to look at this, and hopefully with fresh eyes we can see something that God wants us to see, that we do not fear, and that we, instead of facing our fears, we turn our face to God. The first thing we see, he says, do not be anxious. That's a command. He says, do not be anxious. It's a prohibition. Paul says, I do not want you to fear, to be anxious, to worry. This is the same word that is translated cares in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care on him, your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. It's this idea of being burdened, like having these things, this monkey on your back, right, that you're carrying around everywhere. So do not carry that. Do not be burdened with those things. Don't be anxious. If you're like me, we can be anxious about just about anything and everything. You know, we can be anxious about things that happened in the past. And maybe it was a failure or something that we regret. And maybe we worry that maybe something, a hidden sin or something, will be discovered. Or maybe that failure will reap more consequences now in the present. Or we're anxious about how maybe something panned out that already is done with, but we worry about even the past. And we can worry about the present right now in the midst of a pandemic crisis. Maybe you're worried about your job security right now, or maybe you're worried about your family or your children, and we can be consumed with right now, right here and now, and be worried about our present. We can also be worried about our future. And maybe you're a graduate, and this is not how your senior year was supposed to go. And you're worried about, hey, how is my freshman year in college going to turn out? Or maybe you're about to finish college, and you're like, what am I going to do for a job in this pandemic economy? You know, the economy is crushed right now. How am I going to find a job? And I'm finishing my degree. I'm going to have to start paying on my loans. What am I going to do? Maybe your job security is not good right now, or maybe you lost your job or were furloughed, and you're worried about how am I going to provide for my family, or what could happen if I lost my job? How will I provide for my family? And so anxiousness and worry comes at us from all different directions, whether it be past, present, or future. But God says, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. There's nothing that should cause us to be overwhelmed with anxiousness. Because ultimately, we can trust that we have a God who is greater than any of our fears. We have a God who is greater than any of our fears. I think we can know that Paul is specifically in this book in Philippians 4 talking about a few different areas where his audience may have been anxious, or where he himself was experiencing anxiousness. We know that Paul wrote this book and he was in prison. He was literally chained to a Roman guard, and he didn't know how many days he would have left. For all he knew, he could be killed tomorrow. Remember from chapter 1, he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's like, I don't know. I might be gone tomorrow. Thank you for your prayers for my release. I know all this will work out for God's glory. I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know what that would be like to be living with this constant reality that, man, I could be killed. I could be executed tomorrow for following Jesus. Most of us don't have to even think about that, right? So Paul was probably thinking about that. That was in his mind, because of course he was probably tempted to be anxious about how this might pan out and who would care for the churches if I'm to be killed. We also see that the audience that Paul was writing to, and Paul himself obviously, was suffering persecution and suffering. And he says early in chapter 1, he says, and that you would not be frightened in anything by those who oppose you, that you wouldn't be frightened. You wouldn't be living lives of fear. And maybe even right now, some of us have people in our lives who are opposing us, and that causes us to be anxious. We don't know how someone might respond to our faith in Christ. And so we can become anxious by how others might treat us. He says, you do not need to be frightened. You don't need to be afraid. Do not be anxious. If you kept reading in chapter 4, and I encourage you to do that this week, Paul unpacks this idea of him being in need, and how he's found the secret to being content in whatever circumstance, if he has much or if he has little. And so we know that also in Paul's mind is this idea that maybe we're in great need. And maybe that's you right now. Maybe you are in financial need, or you're not sure how you're going to afford groceries or this next rent or mortgage bill. And Paul says, even in that, even in the midst of that, do not be anxious. I think so often when we read a passage of scripture like this, we think, but I can think of this, maybe this situation where it's appropriate to be overwhelmed with worry. And Paul says, do not be anxious, in case you're wondering, in anything. The problem is that we are caused to be anxious by almost anything, right? Anything can become a worry. And God says, no, I do not want you to be anxious. He instead says, instead of the problem, here's the solution. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. So notice how he juxtaposed anything, being anxious in anything, with but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is just the word for request, giving request to God. And it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He says, give it to God. Instead of allowing yourself to be overcome with worry and facing your fear and it just getting bigger and bigger in front of you, he says, instead of being overcome with anxiousness and worry and fear, turn to God. Turn to God. Turn your face to God and give it to Him. Give those requests to Him, those worries to Him. And whatever it is, maybe right now, that you are tempted to be anxious about, to be fearful of, give it to God. Give it to God. God can handle it. He is not intimidated by your worries and your fear. I think of my kids, and I have, you know, small kids. They're not very big yet, but they have their own worries and fears. And I love when they bring those to me or to their mom. And they say, hey, I'm worried about this, or I don't know what's going to happen here, or what if this happens? And so often to me, it's like their worries are so trivial, right? It's like, really? You're concerned about that? If that kid's going to like you? It's going to be fine. You don't need to worry. You're not going to mess up at that. But to them, that worry and that anxious thing that's in front of them is very real. It is very real. But how is that the same to God? You think God sees all. He controls all. He's sovereign over all. But to me, I can be so consumed with the here and now and this anxiousness. And we say we bring that to God and He can comfort our heart. The solution is to turn our face to God. Don't face your fears. Turn your face to God. Turn your face to God. And what does He say happens? When we let our request be made known to God, when we are not anxious, we choose not to be anxious, we choose to instead just prayerfully turn our face to God. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we had the problem that we would be anxious, that we would be filled with worry. The solution is that we would turn our face to God, that we'd give our worries and our anxiousness to God, that we'd cast our cares on Him, knowing that He cares for us. And this is the result, the fruit of that. God gives peace. God gives peace. You see, I don't want us to miss what maybe God is doing in the midst of our anxiousness and worry, in the midst of us being overwhelmed. You see, sometimes God allows us to encounter obstacles that are too much for us. They're too high for us to get over. They're too big for us to get around, so that we understand and realize and come to the absolute realization that I need God, that I need God. It reminds me of Psalm 61:2, which says, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Lead me to a rock that is higher than I. See, the psalmist there understands that he needs something to have security in, that a solid rock for his ground, for his feet to stand on, that's bigger than himself, that's beyond himself. Lead me to a rock that is higher than I. God sometimes puts obstacles and things that will cause anxiousness and worry in our path because He wants us to turn our face to Him and say, God, there's no way I can get through this if it's not for You. Not by might, not by power, but by Your Spirit, says the Lord. By my Spirit, says the Lord. We need to entrust ourselves to Him. And what happens when we do that? I think that God draws near. Remember James, he says, draw near to God and he will what? Draw near to you. You see, if we thought that we could do it in and of ourselves so often, I think we would lose our awareness of God. We would lose our daily need and sense of dependence on God. And so sometimes God allows us to feel a little bit like we're in over our head. Why? So that we turn our face to God. Don't face your fear. Turn your face towards God. He desires for us to bring our worries, our anxiousness, our cares to Him. He wants to hear them. He's waiting for us to cast those on Him. It says the peace of God will guard our hearts. You know, the converse of that means, okay, that the opposite of that would mean that when we are choosing fear over faith, when we're not experiencing the peace of God, fear actually exposes our hearts and our minds. When we embrace fear and worry and anxiousness, it exposes spiritually our hearts and our minds. It causes us to be confused. It causes us, our hearts, to be sick with fear and anxiousness and worry, right? It exposes us spiritually, maybe even to sin, to choose wrong reactions like bitterness or anger or hate or depression or these other things that come out from choosing fear over faith. Fear exposes our hearts to God, to evil, to wrong things. But God protects our hearts and our minds when we cast our cares on Him. It says the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, one of the most stressful things that I experienced in my life, you know, and this wasn't that crazy of a thing, but I ran for 4 years track at Liberty University. And I remember every time I lined up to race, there was always like a worry and an anxiousness. And some of that was probably because of insecurity. It was like I was finding my identity in my performance. You know, and other pieces of it might have been, well, that this was actually going to hurt. I usually ran the 400 meter, and actually it was going to be some pain, some physical pain, and I was worried about how bad that pain might be. You know, maybe it was a little bit of a pride thing, too. It's like, I didn't want to get beat. And if someone beat me in a race, I was like, what is that going to do to me and my self-esteem? And so, or what if I let my teammates down? What if they're disappointed in me? Or what if I let myself down? I have expectations for myself. And so I always feel these anxious, and I don't think ever conquered that totally, that feeling of anxiousness. But what I did learn was that the solution was not to focus more on the race and to think more about what could happen, the what ifs. The solution was to focus on God. And there was something that I started to pray every time. And if you were one of my teammates, and you would know that this is something that I said, whether it be in practice or at meets, I said, I need to run for the audience of one. The audience of one. And I think we all need to live this way. And what that meant to me was that I needed to focus my thoughts and my heart on God. God knew exactly what I was going through. He knew exactly how that race around the track was going to go. He knew exactly what I was capable of. And if I gave my best effort, if I endured to the best of my ability, He would never be disappointed, especially if I did it for Him as an act of worship for His glory, for living for an audience of one, running for an audience of one. And so what that means is whatever God has you in right now that's causing fear or anxiousness or worry, don't face your fears. Turn your face to God and say, God, I'm going to live as an act of worship to You. And if I have a lot or if I have nothing, if things go the way I want them to or things go completely wrong, I'm going to live in such a way that I would be found faithful and that people would know that I love You and that I'm living for You. And know that you cannot disappoint God if that's the attitude that you enter into whatever worries or difficulties you're in. You know, it's Mother's Day, and so I have to just share real quickly along those lines. My mom and my dad, they would come to track meets a lot. And my mom was so supportive, and my dad as well. They would cheer, and they'd be so excited for me running on the track. And I never felt, and I was thinking back, I never felt more pressure to perform better when my parents were there. Because I knew that their love for me was not going to be affected by my performance on the track. And that what they wanted was just to enjoy me competing to the best of my ability. But what I saw sometimes even in other teammates, they were so overcome by worry or fear for one reason or another. Maybe someone important was actually there watching them and they were stressed out about it. It affected how well they could run. And if we too are overwhelmed with our anxiousness and worries, it will affect how we live. But just like I had security in my mom and my dad and their love for me and the fact that they were for me and rooting for me and I could never disappoint them if I just did my best, we have a good, good Father, a heavenly Father who loves us and who wants to be near to us in the midst of our greatest challenges, worries, and anxiousness and fears. God wants to be near to you now. He wants to be near to you. And so I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how overwhelming you feel right now. But I do know this, that God wants to be near you now. And so whatever those things that are assailing you, those worries, those fears, those cares, the burdens that maybe you're feeling that are holding you down, take those and give them to God. Instead of facing those fears, turn your face to God. He can handle it. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give your fears, your worries, and your anxiousness to God. We're going to close this morning with a song. And the song is Good, Good Father. And no matter what we are going through, we can remember that we have a good Father who wants to be near to us. And so in the midst of our anxiousness and worry, do not be anxious, but go to Him in prayer. Go to Him. Go to your good, good Father, and do not fear. He is greater than all our fears.